Welcome to the Resilience Roundup podcast. I am your host, Lataria Walker. The Army can be a tough profession. Mix in additional responsibilities like leading troops, attending college, maintaining a home, parenting, keeping up with finances, basically living life. How can we successfully manage everything? How can we not just cope, but learn, grow, and thrive? Resilience. That's it. Resilience is the ability to persevere, adapt, and grow in dynamic or stressful environments. Resilience encompasses internal motivation, persistence, and how soldiers revitalize, recover, and adapt in order to respond constructively to challenges in their daily lives. Training and education empowers leaders and soldiers to demonstrate resilience. When individuals gain experience in applying these skills, it enables cohesive team building and drives readiness. The Resilience Roundup podcast is a place where you can find resources that will help you maintain your resilience. You are resilient. Welcome to the Resilience Roundup podcast, episode 16. I am Lataria Walker, your podcast host. Today, our guest is Joy Ingram, a RAFT workshop facilitator. Joy is a love superhero whose mission is to spread empathy, compassion, and understanding in a world often overshadowed by chaos and hatred. With her innate belief in the power of love to heal, Joy has a unique set of abilities that she uses to uplift and unite individuals through the strength of heartfelt connections. This episode's topic is building blocks to resiliency, setting boundaries, discovering core values, and the no word. Joy will discuss the building blocks of resiliency, how to discover core values, set and maintain boundaries, and say no in a positive way. She will explain what boundaries are, the various types of boundaries, give real life examples, and explain how people can set boundaries in their daily lives. She will also define personal values and share how someone's values can affect their life. Joy, thank you for joining us today, ma'am. Please tell us a bit more about yourself.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on your show. Again, my name is Joy Ingram. I am a workshop facilitator for RAFT. I am also the director of community engagement for a small nonprofit agency in Virginia that helps victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. And I got into this work as a survivor who was intent on helping other survivors. So I am a survivor of both sexual assault and domestic violence. I was sexually assaulted when I was really young. And at the time, there was no agency in the area to help me with what I was going through. I didn't even really have a word for what I was going through at the time because I was young, I had been raped, and I was raped by someone that I knew, by someone who I considered a friend. And I didn't even know what that was, that that could even be a thing, because at that age and in that particular time, I thought rape was the adult woman walking down the street carrying her groceries at night when a stranger jumps out of the bushes or a dark alley and attacks her. I didn't know that it happened amongst people who knew each other. So there was no one there to help me. Later, I was in an abusive relationship, and I did not know I was in an abusive relationship because I thought that domestic violence was just the woman with the black eye and the busted lip. And that wasn't me because he never hit me. He did, however, attempt in many different ways to manipulate me and to control me, which is what domestic violence is. It's an attempt at maintaining power and control over someone in a relationship. And at the point when he felt like he lost all control, he put a gun to my head and threatened to kill me. thankfully, I made it out alive. And afterward, I found my way to doing advocacy work with survivors. And so after doing some direct services work for a while, I realized that advocates need help too. And that's where RAFT came in. And I was able to connect with RAFT as an organization, first as an advocate seeking their services. And now I facilitate workshops for them as well.
Roy, thank you for your work and your commitment to this very important subject that, you know, it really involves all of us. So thank you for that. And also thank you for your transparency and for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Let's get into our discussion this morning. Share with us what RAFT is and what is the mission of that organization.
Awesome. So RAFT stands for Resilience for Advocates Through Foundational Training. Our mission is to support organizations and advocates to cultivate human-centered workspaces through foundational wellness practices, resources, and training to build resilience and promote a positive gender-based violence advocacy ecosystem. In a nutshell, RAFT is an organization of advocates for advocates. So while your frontline advocates support victims or survivors of domestic and sexual violence, we come in and support those advocates because doing this work, particularly on a long-term basis, can be very hard. It can be draining. It can cause vicarious trauma, compassion fatigue, and burnout. And RAFT wants to step in and try to make this atmosphere, this environment, as healthy for advocates as possible.
Well, thank you for that. So one of RAFT's areas of support is resilience building. And, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot about building resilience and resiliency. So can you talk to us about boundaries and how your team defines them and how that intersects with building resilience?
Sure. So our team uses the Brené Brown definition of boundaries, and she defines boundaries as guidelines, rules, or limits created by a person for themselves that are reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to treat them, as well as how they will respond when someone goes outside of those limits. It's basically statements of what a person will or won't do and things that they do and don't like. And the way that boundaries are important in building resilience is basically it gives you a protective area that's just for you. It helps you to decide what you will and won't allow. And it helps you to identify when people have crossed those boundaries so that you can keep yourself safe.
Are there different types of boundaries? And if so, what are they?
Yes, so there are different types of boundaries. So there are physical boundaries. There are psychological and emotional boundaries, and there are also spiritual boundaries. So your physical boundaries basically pertain to your personal space, your bubble, and your privacy. So for instance, if you're a person that doesn't like hugs, then a boundary might be that you're not one of those people when you meet folks, you want to walk up to them and hug them. You may not want your family members to hug you. And that's perfectly okay. That is a boundary that you set. You know, and you decide what's okay and what's not okay in physical relationships. It may be okay for, you know, if you're dating someone, it may be okay for them to hold your hand or to kiss you, but it's not okay for them to touch you below the neck, things like that. Those are physical boundaries. Another type of boundary is a psychological boundary. And psychological boundaries pertain to your beliefs, your emotions, and your intuition. And you have the right to have your own feelings, your own thoughts, and your own opinions. And so with things like that, a psychological boundary may be that, you know, for instance, if you're invited to a party, you may decide not to go depending on who's going to be there because that person drains your emotional energy and you just don't want to be around them. Or you may not want to discuss certain topics with people at certain times because it's draining to you. And that's a boundary that you set. With regard to spiritual boundaries, they pertain to your self-esteem, your sense of identity and faith, and they protect your right to believe what it is that you want to believe. And a type of spiritual boundary may be regarding, you know, you don't work on certain days because that's your religious holiday, or you don't eat certain foods, or you don't dress a certain way, or you do dress a certain way. These are all spiritual boundaries that are set.
Wow, that's very good to know. So give us some healthy examples of people implementing boundaries in their everyday lives? Help us out with that.
So a healthy example might be, for instance, and this is really simple, but like, I think this is one that's been overlooked for a very long time. When children, you know, may tell you that they don't want to be hugged, and so you don't hug them, that's an example of a healthy boundary, because you're respecting their wishes and you are getting their consent. And we need to be able to do that in every aspect of our life. Another healthy boundary may be that, you know, on the weekends, you turn the notifications off on your phone for certain things. For instance, I'll turn the notifications off for like group work text messages because I'm off. And sometimes folks get a little carried away with them. And I feel like if it's a real emergency, they won't text me, they'll actually call me. Something else might be, you know, not taking phone calls, personal or professional, after a certain hour because you need to get your rest. That's a boundary that you set, and it helps you be the best person that you can be. So those are just a few examples of setting healthy boundaries.
Wow, these are good examples, says the person who checks her email 24/7. Thank you for sharing that. So let's switch gears a bit and talk a bit about values. Joy, can you talk about values and how your team helps individuals identify them?
Yeah. So values are any idea or thing that's important enough to you that it affects how you think, how you act, and how you feel. And the way our team helps people to discover their boundaries is with one of our workshops in the workbook. There's a list of values, and we basically just ask people to go through the workbook and look through and quickly circle the values that stand out to them. And after that, we ask them to take a couple more minutes just to narrow those down and come up with like 5 or 10 of their top values and to think about how those relate to their everyday life.
So tell us, how do personal values affect our everyday lives?
So values are basically what we use to determine our laws, our customs, and our traditions. They help us determine our sense of right or wrong. They influence our attitudes and our behaviors. And basically, they give our lives a sense of purpose, meaning, and passion.
Got it. In our webinar series, you talked a lot about empowering your no, or saying no in a positive way. Can you explain to us exactly what that means?
So when we talk about saying no in a positive way, we're basically talking pretty much about saying no clearly and concisely. Because a lot of times the way that people say no on a regular basis is not positive. They don't really say no. Typically, there are 3 A's of saying no that people are typically using, and that's to accommodate, to attack, or to avoid the request. And so with accommodating, when someone asks you to do something, when someone makes a request of you, instead of saying no when you don't want to do it, you basically just give in and do it. You may do it with an attitude. There are feelings of resentment. You don't really want to do it. It doesn't make you feel good, but you do it. So you accommodate that request. With the attack, again, you're not saying no. You're basically attacking the person or the reason for the request. It's like, why are you asking me to do this? Why do you need me to do this? What is the purpose of this? You're getting angry about things instead of just telling them no. And the final way that people are often saying no is to avoid the request altogether. So if it comes as a text message, people may avoid the text message. They may pretend that they didn't see it and just not respond. Same thing with emails. People, you know, don't respond to emails. If you see that someone is calling you on the phone and you know that they want something, you don't answer the phone. So you avoid the request altogether. And doing this either jeopardizes your power in a relationship or it jeopardizes the relationship itself. So when you accommodate, you know, you will oftentimes feel like you've lost your power in a situation because you're giving in and you're doing something that you really don't want to do. When you avoid, you run the risk of losing both your relationship and your personal power. And when you attack someone because of a request that they made, you basically run the risk of losing that relationship, and you don't want to do that. So with saying no in a positive way, We teach people to first lean into their values and their boundaries and use that as the basis for their no. And so in saying no in a positive way, you in essence say yes first. So you identify your values and your boundaries with regards to the request, and you say yes to your values and your boundaries. And then you can turn around and say no to that person's request based on what it is that you feel is best for you. Now, the second part of that, or the third part actually, is to possibly say a second yes to something else. And just to give you an example of that, for instance, if someone asks you to come in to cover a shift on your day off, if your boundary is that, you know, you don't work on your days off, you take your days off, you can stand on the value of if rest is really important to you, or keeping your sense of work-life balance. Or maybe your family. Maybe this is family time and you've already decided that you're going to do something with your family that day, so you don't want to go to work. So your value that you stand on might be family. And in saying yes to your family, that gives you the basis to say no to the request. And you just simply say a firm no and just say, no, I can't come in today. No, I have other things going on. Or, you know, in certain instances, you may just say no, because no is a complete sentence. Now, the third part is that you may offer a second yes. You don't have to, but it may be a thing of, well, I can't do it today, but if you need something next week, then I'm off that day and I would be happy to come in and do that for you then.
Wow, those are very good tips. Thank you for sharing. And since we're talking about the positive no, let's do an exercise, or tell us a bit about exercises that individuals may do to practice this, because we know this does not come natural. It could be a bit uncomfortable. So what can we do to practice saying a positive no?
I would say think about times in your life when you've said yes, or you've accommodated someone, or you've attacked a request, or you've just avoided it. Think about times in your life when that's happened and how you could have changed that situation by saying no in a positive way. For instance, if you attack someone who asked you to borrow money, you know, how could you have done that differently? If you stand on a value of, say, you know, I have to pay my own bills, or this isn't helpful to you for me to just basically enable you with these requests, you stand on that value and then you practice how you could have said no to them before and how you might be able to say no to them next time. And just think about different scenarios in your life, because we've all had plenty of them where we wanted to say no and we really didn't.
That's a very good example. So as we come to a close here, does RAP have resources available if individuals want to self-educate?
Yes, people can go to our website at rafcares.org. They can email us at info@rafcares.org. We have different blogs on our website, different podcasts, referrals to books and other educators. We also have a Facebook page and Instagram page that has different information there that people can tap into to learn more about resilience and boundaries and saying no and other ways to become resilient as well.
Wow, Joy, this has been exceptional. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners before we close?
I would just like to say thank you to all the advocates out there doing the amazing work. We are so grateful that you are here. You are needed. Your work is recognized and appreciated. And we know that you need help, and RAFT is here for you. And if you want to learn more or get more from us, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy, for joining us today and for sharing this valuable information with our listeners. Listeners, I hope you heard something today that will help you continue to build upon your resilience and learn to say no in a positive way. Thank you for listening and have an amazing day. Thank you for joining this month's Resilience Roundup podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please continue to follow the Directorate of Prevention, Resilience, and Readiness on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay resilient.